the big story for me, I think it's somewhere between Twitter and AI, but there is a broader theme here about, and we've already cursed twice, so I'm going to curse for the third and final time, potentially. It's this theme of end-shitification, the end-shitification of the internet. And listeners can look that up. It's got a Wikipedia entry. It is actually a term broadly used to describe the move away from quality and the move towards revenue extraction at all costs. So, you know, content gets shorter form and it gets more monetized. There is a move away from content with nuance, long form, op-ed style consumption. We've been seeing that over a number of years. But certainly the rise of AI and the potential impact that that can have on the dilution of good content online, and how much content are we going to eventually see that's going to be user generated, and how much of it is going to be AI generated? It should be a massive concern for all the social media companies. I think we might have mentioned it last time. The social media companies have a vested interest in sorting this out, because it will just the quality of their product is declining every single day. And I suppose Musk is kind of just doing this in three times speed compared to the other ones, but There's a broader theme there, I think, about how we get at quality content or the decline of quality content in general. That's a story from a few years, but I think this year in particular, we've seen a few instances where we're really stepping over a precipice into a new phase of the internet in general. How that impacts news, how that impacts creative output, that for me is like the big story.
Yeah,
that underpins a lot of even the big stories. And I think it will continue to be the defining story of the decline of the internet, essentially, over the next couple of years, I reckon.
So your big story of 2023 is the end of the internet.
not to ring in the death of the internet, because I feel that even about Twitter, for instance. So I think that the Twitter community, or the people on there, and obviously, you know, there are many, many different communities on Twitter that previously weren't really interacting because the algorithm sort of kept them apart. But I think that there will be some resilience in that user base. I don't think it will turn into a Parler or a Truth Social just yet, because I think a lot of people still like, I mean, I still like using it, even though it's become this sort of this right-wing hellhole in certain places. But I think that we are at the beginning of the end of what we think is basically Web 2, not to think that Web 3 is the kind of the current impression of what Web 3 is. I don't think that's necessarily where we're going. But I think Web 2, as, you know, social media, user-generated content, microblogging, massive amounts of data, I think that's starting to go away. What it will be replaced by, I don't know. I'm hoping that a proliferation of platforms, if, you know, we've got, you know, it's not just Threads, but you've also got Mastodon, you've got Blue Sky, and I'm hoping other players will sort of jump into that mix and re-inject some competitiveness into the space, which hopefully will have effects on quality, at least in the usual economic theory. But yeah, I just generally see like the slow but terminal decline of the internet we've all kind of grown up in up until this point.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And what the big kind of story for me in my personal / professional life is actually deleting my Twitter account. And I just, you know, just hearing you talk about it, Cass, I just feel so incredibly liberated. I'm kind of like stretching my arms right now, because I'm just feel like I'm just not part of that ickiness, and just seeing my feed and all that horribleness. And it had gotten really bad. Mm. It wasn't great before Musk, by the way.
I would argue that the decline of the previous era of the internet that we've been in is leading to also frayed communities and frayed public discourse. And you see that especially around, you know, these big conflicts like in Israel and in Gaza. And that should probably concern everyone. And advertisers are very much a part of this as well. One great big example that we haven't touched on at all today, but was a really big story in the first half of the year, was the sort of Dylan Mulvaney response and the lack of support for LGBTQ+ community from advertisers because of toxicity in public discourse, especially seen online. And that has real world effects, not just online effects.